Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
It's 5:11. Note to self: might want to cut down on weeknight activities. We were at the First Bites event last night at the Field Museum. This is the Choose Chicago deal where they have the restaurants. Many of the restaurants who are participating in Restaurant Week have little bites, samples of their food. I mean, there's something like 400 restaurants, I think, involved in First Bites, but involved in Restaurant Week. At First Bites, they have many of those restaurants, and so the Field Museum, they just have one whole floor and a balcony with booths, and everybody's giving out samples of food, and you're walking around and eating too much, and you're out too late if you have to be on the radio at this hour. But I did run into a lot of nice people there last night. In fact, Dave Ennett, you know Lou Kanellis, right?
I know Lou. He's a good friend, yes.
Lou, of course, does
his sports.
He's
in the restaurant business also.
Yes, he's... When you see him, he doesn't really talk too much about what he does on Fox 32. It's all about Greek food now with Lou.
Yes.
And he's got Avli.
Mm-hmm.
River North, and he's got another one, right? I mean, there's an Avli up in the northern suburbs, but he's involved in the one in River North, and then I think there's another one downtown.
Yes, the I believe
Lincoln Park. That's
and
it.
The River North one, I think, is the new location.
That's right, on Wells.
Opened recently.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was good to see Lou. And then whenever we're out in Southern California in the Los Angeles area, we like this restaurant called Katana. It's a Japanese place, and so I run into Neil O'Mara, who's the general manager of Katana in Chicago, and I was very excited to see their little booth last night because we liked that place in L.A., and I didn't even know they were in Chicago, so I was very embarrassed because I said to him, apparently he knows me from someplace, and so he said hello, and I said, oh, you know, we love your restaurant in the L.A. area. How long have you been open here? And he said, 2 years. So I missed
well,
that.
Well, the restaurant business changes a lot, right,
Bob? Well, I'll tell you something. Average lifespan of a restaurant is about an hour and a half. Well, good to have you with us this morning. I was driving in today, and I'm thinking, there's something wrong with my windshield wipers. I can't see anything, but you know what? It's the combination of you get your rain, you get your salt spray, you get your fog, and I had to come in on instruments this morning. I mean, it was bad out there, but I guess we might have a lull later, and then the snow not till after the evening rush hour, but this morning might be a bit wet.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Roan, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It's almost 5:20. About this time every morning, we check in with WGN TV News, find out what they're covering. And here's Nancy Liu. Good morning, Nancy. What's up?
Hi there, Bob. I'm wondering if you're following along with the impeachment trial. Are you paying attention and listening to the hours and hours of arguments?
I'm trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. And as you may know, the Democrats yesterday, they spent the entire day arguing that the president abused his power. And that is the first article of impeachment against him. Today, the focus turns to the article, the second one, which is obstruction of Congress. It's not clear, you know, how long these Democratic prosecutors are going to go today, but yesterday they went until 9:30 last night, Chicago time. So it was a very long day, and there it's a Republican-controlled Senate, as everyone knows, and the Republicans are saying it's like Groundhog Day and that they're accusing the Democrats of being very repetitive. Apparently, there were senators spotted napping, and there were fidget spinners in Senate, and a lot of drinking of milk and water. But it remains to be seen how long it's going to go today as they shift to that second article, which is obstruction of Congress.
Yeah, they only allow them two beverages, right? So water is one, and then milk is the other
one. Yeah, and no cookies.
And the president's defenders are waiting their turn, and that may come tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
right?
Yes. They are up tomorrow, and Jay Sekulow, one of his attorneys, is kind of indicating that, you know, they're allowed 24 hours, but they may not even take the 24 hours. And their claim is that, you know, it's a very quick case of the, you know, the president protecting the country with his actions with Ukraine. And with the withholding of aid was, you know, in national interest based on all of the corruption that had, there was a history of corruption in Ukraine. So the withholding was for good reason.
All right. Thanks for the update. There you go. It's our morning report from WGN-TV and Nancy Liu. You have a good day, Nancy. Happy weekend. Happy Friday. All right.
Bye-bye.
It is 5:22. I'm Bob Surratt. They want me to say my name more. And I tell them, you know, I'm sick of myself. And people, they know who I am. But I'll just throw that in now and then for management.
Not everybody knows who you are.
No, I don't mean
some youngsters out there.
No, I don't mean everybody knows who I am. I don't mean that. I just mean
most people.
I just people are.
So maybe we should.
I'm sick of myself. I don't want to say my name.
But you're new here, Bob.
That's true.
Well,
we
should call you Bob Surratt.
Will you guys do it?
Yeah, well, we do that with Adam Hogue. We only refer to him by his full name, so we'll refer to you as Bob Surratt.
And then I won't have to say my name.
Anything under four syllables, we can say the double name.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But don't do that, because then that's going to aggravate me.
Like Dave Ennett, Bob Surratt. My name you cannot do.
Start hearing traffic, throwing it back to my full name, sports, returning it to my full name, Steve in the newsroom. No, that's not going to work. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here. That's the text number as well, 312-981-7200. And the email at bobshow@wgnradio.com. The Twitter is at Bob Surratt. Oh, sorry. Email bobshow@wgnradio.com. And this is where we put a caller on the radio. First caller to get on gets a prize. Today, it's you, Jim, in Elgin. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm not bad. What are you up to today?
Driving to work.
Where are you and where are you going?
I am on 355 headed to the beautiful town of Joliet.
What do you do for a living there, Jimmy?
I am a union carpenter working on the Will County Courthouse.
Good for you. We like the tradespeople. You do good work. And let me just point out that I'm not the only one on the road this morning who thinks they need new wipers, right? Can you see anything?
Oh, I can see beautifully.
But there's so much rain, there's fog, there's salt spray. You're doing okay, though. All right.
I used a Rain-X windshield wipe.
Oh, that's a good
solvent,
idea.
And it works great on the windshield.
That's a good idea. I may try that. How would you like four tickets to Shakespeare Theater's Comedy of Errors, a cleverly abridged 75-minute production? You get those tickets for being the first caller on the radio, Jim.
All right. Thank you, Bob. That's great.
After the show, you can stay for a Q&A and pictures with the cast. It's now playing Saturday mornings through February 29th. Everyone else can get tickets at ChicagoShakes.com. And if you want to be the first caller on the radio, you can try again Monday at 312-981-7200. Any exciting plans for the weekend, Jimmy?
No, just hanging out with the wife.
How long have you been married?
41 years.
All right, we need the secret. How do you do it? How do you stay happy?
A lot of communication.
Okay. Easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, you hold on there, Jim, and we'll get the information we need to get these tickets out to you. Appreciate you listening and calling in. Way to go.
Thank you, Bob.
You're very welcome. It's 5:26. Sox Fest gets underway later today, right, Dave?
Yeah, it gets going this afternoon with opening ceremonies and all of the festivities get going at McCormick Place. And should be a great weekend. A lot of excitement, new venue, and they are ready to rock and roll. They have a few new events this year, but it starts actually with a black carpet and ribbon cutting ceremony at 3 o'clock.
Black carpet. I get it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They have the opening ceremonies, I believe, at 4. They've got different seminars throughout the course of the weekend. Some of our folks will be participating in those. And a White Sox museum where they'll have the 2005 World Series trophy, which will have to hold them until they get their next World Series trophy, which could be sooner rather than later.
Yes, people are really excited.
Very excited about this
season.
This team.
Yeah. You're right, 4 o'clock today, and then they go Saturday, not Sunday this year, and that's at McCormick Place.
Yep.
And I like the lineup of Hall of Famers, Frank Thomas, Harold Baines, Hawk Harrelson, back for that.
Who is going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. A little later this morning, I'll tell you about the idea that I've been pushing for the White Sox. Let's call it an improvement around the ballpark. I've mentioned this to Jerry Reinsdorf over the years. So far, he has not taken me up on this idea. But I believe this idea could put them on an even par, an even keel with the Cubs and Wrigley Field, and how that neighborhood draws fans to the park early and they stay late. And I believe I can do the same for the Guaranteed Rate Field if they adopt my idea. I'll broadcast that idea a little later this morning.
Oh, that was just a tease.
It was just a tease. I'm sorry. I know exactly what the idea is, but I'm going to fine-tune it a little bit before I broadcast it to everybody.
You sure you don't want to keep this between yourself and the chairman?
Well, I figure since I'm here now at the White Sox station, who better than a lifelong Cub fan to tell Jerry Reinsdorf what to do?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you can tell why he has not acted on my idea over the years. I think I first told him about this about 10 years ago. So, you know, that'll be coming up a little later this morning. Remind me to tell you about that. And then we will have something from the record collection today in honor of the Grammys. We'll do that at about 7:40 this morning. And people have asked about Lieutenant David Haynes, who we used to have on the radio reviewing movies and talking about restaurants. He's here now on Fridays with us, and he joins us this morning at about 6:40 or so. And are we going to get an explanation on the express lanes today? We are, aren't we? Before 9 o'clock, we finally are going to figure this out. Big mystery. We've talked about it here. You've wondered about the express lanes, when they open, when they close, why are they open, why are they closed, what's the rhyme or reason behind all that?
Or is there one at all?
Well, that's true, Mary. There may not be. I will find out. And I think at about 8:40 or so this morning, we'll get to that, something like that.
I'm so excited.
And the reason I do this, I mean, these teases, I realize you have to get to work. You can't change your hours to listen to us all day long. But I say this so Dave over here next to me on the sports desk and Mary in Traffic Central there and Steve in the newsroom, so they stay till 9 o'clock. So they have something to stay for. That's why I do that. And I'm also going to request that we get the controls for the express lanes here on our studio control board. And also, you know those messages on the expressway? You see those
messages? Boards, yeah.
Yeah, I want that control, too. So we'll work on all of that this morning. Glad to have you with us. Here's a quick agribusiness update from Orion.
Good morning. Live and feeder cattle futures dropped to their lowest prices in about 2 months yesterday. Traders adjusting positions ahead of that monthly cattle on feed report expected to show an increase in supplies. According to a survey by Reuters of traders, USDA expected to report today that as of January 1, the nation had 11,948,000 head of cattle on feed. And that's up 2.2% from a year earlier. And USDA expected to say that 1,828,000 cattle were placed in feedlots during December. That would be up 3.4% from the previous year. And turning to the grain trade yesterday, corn futures topped a three-month high on improved export demand, while wheat futures traded near a one-and-a-half-year high. Soybeans, though, eased to a one-month low. Traders still waiting for signs of Chinese purchases of U.S. crops in the wake of last week's initial trade agreement signing in Washington. USDA has not yet confirmed agricultural sales to China since the country signed that deal in which Beijing pledged to increase imports of American farm products. However, USDA said private exporters sold 141,000 tons of U.S. corn to unknown destinations, and another 144,000 tons sold to Guatemala yesterday. This Saturday, on the Saturday Morning Show, we'll be giving you details on the Indiana Sheep Association's second annual sheep shearing school. That's coming up in March, and it'll be on Saturday, March 7th. We'll give you more details on the Saturday Morning Show this week. That's Ag Biz. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
We will try. 5:41. Welcome to the world. Friday, January 24th. Remind me when we talk to Orion live next week to ask him about this new apple that has become my favorite. Have you guys seen the Cosmic Crisp? I saw this at Mariano's. It's a huge apple that apparently is a combination of an Enterprise and a Honeycrisp apple. And let me read the description here. Large, juicy, red premium apple with a firm and crisp texture. Ample sweetness with a flesh that is naturally slow to brown when cut. I've got one here this morning. Have you tried this? Have you seen these yet? Anybody?
Yeah, I've had one of them, yeah.
You have, Steve?
Yeah, and I thought it was really similar to the Honeycrisp. But I had several of them, and they did stay fresh in my kitchen for quite a while. I had them for a couple weeks.
Yeah, this, let me just demonstrate here.
Sounds rather juicy. Yeah,
sounds delicious.
That's Bob Surratt eating an apple.
Eating an apple.
Play-by-play, please, Dave.
This is what WGN thinks you want to hear in the morning. A guy biting into an apple on the twos. It's 5:42. It's really quite good.
Yeah, you didn't make a bitter face, so that's a good sign, right?
Are they expensive?
Let's keep making him try to talk, by the way.
Yeah,
it's about the same as a Honeycrisp. Yeah. Just almost as expensive. Not quite, though. It's pretty good, though. I like a Cosmic Crisp.
Did you bring some for the class?
Yeah, I forgot it in the car, though. I'll get it later.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, you want to hear the idea that I've been trying to push on Jerry Reinsdorf for years? This is what reminded me about this idea. Yesterday, Paul Sullivan in the Trib had his suggestions for the White Sox to improve fans' experiences. And one of them, and this is a good one, was have a pop-up McCuddy's. Pop-up bars are a growing trend, as we saw during the holidays. Sullivan writes, the one long-gone establishment old-school Sox fans truly miss is McCuddy's Tavern, which was on 35th across from the old Comiskey and was torn down for the new ballpark. Babe Ruth used to drink there. So did your parents and maybe your grandparents. That's enough reason for a pop-up McCuddy's at Sox Park. Great idea. And so this is what I have always thought they should do on the South Side. You know, they have a lot of parking. They really have great parking spaces and facilities there, lots, but they don't need all of that. So I say take some of that and establish a permanent taste of the South Side with various restaurants, especially Chicago South Side establishments, setting up there. So fans come to the game early and stay late, like they do at Wrigley Field for the Cubs. And I've mentioned this over the years to Jerry Reinsdorf. He hasn't acted on this yet. But don't you think that's a good idea, Dave?
So you're saying, basically, where do you put this?
Well, you take some of the parking lot space that I think they own.
Yeah.
And then you set up these food booths, and they're always open before the game and after the game, so fans can have that kind of experience that they do at Wrigley, in Wrigleyville.
Well, I mean, that's a good idea, Bob Surratt. First of all, they have great food in the ballpark.
They do. Wrigley Field has been catching up a little bit, but they've always been, I mean, since the Bill Veeck era, they've been better at that.
Yeah, when they had bad teams, they still had good food.
Yes.
There are some establishments around there, Cork and Carry at the Park, which is Joe, about a block and a half north or two blocks north of the ballpark.
Yeah, nice easy walk, a couple of blocks.
It's a great spot. Plus, they allow tailgating there. And they're with the large parking lot, so there are places. Now, if you take your idea, and then you can take your food back to your tailgate party, now I think maybe you're getting the best of both worlds.
Well, yeah, in recent years, it has improved around there.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think they need a big sort of permanent food fest around the ballpark.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Now, I think Mr. Reinsdorf has not taken me seriously because he knows I grew up in the North Side and spent my youth in Wrigley Field. But
so he's like, Surratt, whatever.
I'm a baseball fan. I love any baseball, and I've always taken the family out to Sox Park because they do a great job, especially those fireworks nights, and very family friendly out there. So I don't think you should discount my idea. Do they really need all that parking? I mean, hopefully they will, because they're going to be good and they're going to draw more fans. But take some of it, at least, and set up this food fest.
You know, there's a lot of parking when you compare it to Wrigley, but when there's a full house there,
it gets tight.
Quite as easy to get into the parking lots.
Yeah, that's true. But it would really be nice, and it would promote the South Side establishments. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Sox could make some money. They could make some extra money on it because obviously they would charge these food vendors, these restaurants to set up in these spaces. But and then you come there early, you stay late, and you do some tailgating, whatever. I think it's a good idea. I don't see the downside of this idea. Should I go over to Sox Fest and?
Well, I'll be there today if you like. I'm sure Brooks Boyer and the Sox marketing team are awake and listening now and jotting all these ideas down.
Brooks and Scott and everybody and Rick Kahn, they've always been very nice to me, but I always get the feeling that they're suspicious of my ideas. But I just want to help. I really do. I want to support all Chicago
maybe now
baseball.
That you're here, they will take you more seriously.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, what do you think of that idea?
I mean, it's a good idea.
We'll let people chime in at 312-981-7200. That's our phone number and our text number. Yeah, I don't see the downside. I really don't. But I do admit that in recent years, not only has the always good food inside the park gotten better, but the area around there has gotten better, and before you get in the park, the places to eat have improved, and there are more of them. There are more choices now, aren't there?
There are,
yes, and within fairly easy walking distance. So, but again, I like your idea.
And this McCuddy's idea that Paul Sullivan has, that's a great idea, because even I always knew the history of McCuddy's Tavern right there on 35th. And they should set something up there to honor McCuddy's. I don't know who owns the family, the name now, if anybody from the family still around there. I think they are. That would be very cool. Put some historic artifacts up in there.
How about a statue of Babe Ruth holding a beer and a hot dog?
Right, in uniform.
In uniform.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why not? Oh, by the way, speaking of texts, I'm not sure we want to go with that format of biting into an apple on the twos. 815 says, not what I want to hear. Makes me cringe when I hear people eat on the radio. I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. Coming up on Fridays, we do the top six at six at about 6:09 or so. We'll get to those stories, which are the ones that we think are the most interesting on any given day. That's coming up this morning. We'll have our extremely local news report from the Block Club Chicago folks coming up at about 7:18 today. We'll get into the neighborhoods. And there's a lot to talk about, too, in the neighborhoods, especially business-wise. What did I see here this morning? Bed Bath & Beyond closing some stores. The site...
What?
Yes, sorry, Mary. Vienna Beef got the okay for a new facility there at 2501 North Damon, actually. There's going to be a drive shack driving range planned for that area that used to be owned by Vienna. And then the Treasure Island space in Lakeview is going to be a climbing wall. So we'll tell you about all that and more. That's coming up right here.
Yeah, I saw on Block Club 2 there's going to be a new hamburger place in my neighborhood in Uptown at Broadway and Wilson, right next to the new L stop there. It's going to be called Lucy's. I think they have a spot right now in Humboldt Park, but it's a nice little burger joint that's going in there.
Yeah, we need another place, another hamburger joint, don't we?
And Steve? More beefs, yeah.
Well, I don't know how all these hamburger places stay in business. Some of them have already gone away, but there are so many to choose from now, aren't there? I mean, you've got... I can't start naming them all. We're only here till 9 o'clock, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but obviously, in the newsroom there, Steve, you're very excited about this.
Yes, it's a little. I'm a little concerned because it's within walking distance of my front door, so
that's
I'll probably...
dangerous.
Very dangerous, but it's very nice to see that going in there.
Yeah, and there's also on the food beat, what did I see here? Hang on one second. Don't go away. I've got this here somewhere. It's over here. Yeah, there's a mac and cheese fest or something like that. Oh, the mac and cheese crawl through River North is going on this weekend. You can get tickets. It includes admission to all the bars, servings of mac at each spot. And that's going on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. over there at 155 West Kinsey in that neighborhood. Mac and cheese, the mac and cheese crawl through River North. How about that? It's a good weekend for that. It's going to be, temperature-wise, we're okay, but it's going to be wet and snowy eventually. So there are some food suggestions for you, and we'll have that top six at six also coming up. Coming attractions here, Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, at your service on Friday mornings. We do something called Lou's First Call, and if you've got a question, a problem around the house, you can give us a buzz later at about 6:18 this morning. We'll get Lou Manfredini on the line, and the number for him and for us, 312-981-7200. That's coming right up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Surratt on WGN Radio.
We'll do this a little early on Friday morning, 6:09. Let's get to the stories that are of interest at this hour. Representatives Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, and the other Democrats prosecuting the case against President Trump spent the day yesterday focused on two main goals, outlining why the president's Ukraine dealings met the constitutional threshold for removal from office, and preempting the arguments sure to be made by the president's defense team. The Senate reconvenes at noon Chicago time today for the trial, and House Democrats plan to use their final day of opening arguments by outlining the president's alleged obstruction of Congress and why it requires his ouster under the Constitution. Donald Trump's legal defense team gets to tell their side of the story beginning tomorrow. Meanwhile, the debate over whether senators should call additional witnesses in the trial will continue.
Now, page two.
The first person diagnosed with the Wuhan coronavirus in the country is being treated by medical workers and a robot. The robot, equipped with a stethoscope, is helping doctors take the man's vitals and communicate with him through a large screen. Health authorities in Texas are investigating another suspected coronavirus case in a Texas student. The student, who recently traveled to China, went to an emergency department yesterday with a cough and congestion. He went to Wuhan. The patient is in isolation at home as healthcare workers are performing tests to determine whether the student contracted the coronavirus. This reminds me that because he is even worse than I am as far as being a hypochondriac, Ro Khan, I believe, has told his staff, his producers, his engineers, and so forth for the afternoon show to stay home today, and robots will be working with him today because he just feels safer that way.
Page three.
An explosion this morning in a computer room very early prompted an evacuation at the Central District Chicago Police Station in the South Loop. The minor explosion occurred about 3:10 a.m. on the second floor of the station at 1718 South State Street. An electrical issue triggered a gas fire suppression system in the room, prompting a hazardous materials response, according to the Chicago Fire Department. The building was evacuated of police personnel until the fire department ventilated the room. The staff did return to the building a short time later.
Page four.
Students in Illinois will no longer have to worry about potential repercussions of missing class in order to vote, starting with the November general election. Is Paul Harvey giving us the right number on these stories, or are we just arbitrarily throwing those pages in here? I'm trying to keep track of the top six at six here. I'm not sure what number I'm on, but I do enjoy hearing Paul Harvey. Back to this story. Governor Pritzker signed legislation that allows students to be excused from school for up to 2 hours to vote in primary, general, and special elections, or any election in which propositions are submitted to a popular vote. The state's primary election is March 17th, but the law will take effect June 1st. But students may be excused on election day or any day that early voting is offered, although the law allows for schools to set specific hours when students may be excused.
Don't it may concern.
Apple is making changes to the iPhone this year. Did you hear about this? Help me understand this. Alongside screen size changes, Apple will give the iPhone 12 lineup a new 120 hertz OLED ProMotion display. Anybody understand exactly what that means? Joe, the engineer, you should be the guy to explain this. Aren't you a technical whiz?
Yeah, I can try to look into this and give everybody an explanation about it.
Alongside screen size changes, Apple will give the iPhone 12 lineup new 120 hertz OLED ProMotion displays. Does that mean just better video, I guess? Is that what that means? Vivian, the producer, knows that.
If no one knows what this means.
Well, let me finish. There's more. We may understand the rest of this. Also, there will be a long-range 3D mapping camera. I kind of get that. 5G connectivity. So 5G is supposed to be the best, mm-hmm. right? Supposedly. And they say it will also have a potentially transformative new A14 chip. Anybody? also, Touch ID via an in-display sensor. So we already have the Touch ID. Don't we already have an in-display sensor?
Hmm? This sounds like it's going to cost me a lot of money to get a new iPhone.
No. Yeah, I think so. Steve, why don't you put a little jar in the newsroom and just put a piece of tape on it and say, collecting for Steve's new iPhone 12.
A tip jar, a newsroom
tip jar. Tip your broadcasters. Anyway, there you go. iPhone, Apple making changes to the iPhone in 2020. I've lost track. What are we on now? This is for the iPhone 12? This is for the iPhone 12?
Was there an iPhone 11? Or are they going right from X to 12?
I got to ask my wife because she buys everything that comes out at the Apple Store.
I haven't seen the 11.
Yeah, I think there is an 11.
Is there?
Yeah. Right. And then they're also doing this thing, the cheaper version that's coming out in the spring of this year. It's going to be like a $399 cheaper version of all of the phones sort of like the, I guess, the SE, the iPhone 8 SE, I think it was called. But it's just going to be kind of a bare-bones iPhone.
Got it. Can I do the sixth story in the top six at six after a quick break? Is that allowed?
I'd like it is allowed, that. But let's just wrap it up here.
This is Chicago.
Wow, Joe. Joe the engineer on fire this morning. Yeah, but I've got one more good story to tell here, the sixth story. But I need to get to the traffic, sports, and the weather update. So can we do that, please, Joe?
If you really want to.
Before we get to Lou Manfredini and his first call, let's finish up the top six at six. This is a story I wanted to get to. Should we have Paul Harvey before I read this, or should I just read the sixth story I meant to read? Joe?
Stand by for news.
Thank you. Three Illinois Bed Bath & Beyond stores are on a list of 40 sites nationwide that the home goods retailer is closing. Some of the stores on the list have already closed, while others will shut down this year. The local stores on the list are at 530 North State and in Mount Prospect and McHenry. And they say some of the stores on their complete list of 40 have already closed. Others will shut down this year. This is why I wanted to get this story in, because people are wondering why the flags in Mary Vandeveld's traffic center are flying at half mast this morning. Sorry, Mary.
mine's not closing, the one in Downers Grove, so I'm okay.
Okay, good to know.
My 20% off will work.
Thank you very much. And there we go.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirach on WGN Radio.
Good day.
Hello. It's time to learn it all here on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini.
Hello, Robert. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. It's Friday, weekend coming. We're happy despite the messy weather out there this morning.
Yeah, it is a little rainy. Lots of puddles on the sides of the road, so be careful if you're in that right-hand lane, because you're going to be surprised.
Absolutely. Are you ready for your first call?
Sure.
Okay, it's Daniel from the Northwest Side. Say hi to Lou, Danny.
Hey, good morning, Bob, and good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
What's up in your house, Daniel?
I'm having a heating issue. I have a new home, dual zone, on the second floor. On the master bedroom, I have the thermostat and the temperature set at 74. Across the hall from us, we have three spare bedrooms and my baby's room. And I noticed that there is a 5 to 6 degree difference, and I'm trying to find out what I can do to and it's cooler on the other side of the hallway, so I'm trying to find out how I can get those rooms to get warmer. So it'll be 74 in our master bedroom, and it'll be around 68-69 on the other side.
Is the thermostat in your master bedroom, is it on a wall that on the other side is the hallway on the second floor?
It's on a wall, and on the other side is the spare bathroom.
Okay. So I think, you know, the problem is with the thermostat in one room like you have there, you know, you may have more furniture or, you know, things are just hot in the bedroom. If that one room is warmer, then obviously that's dictating the temperature from everybody else. I think that what would make sense is to relocate the thermostat into the hallway, not directly close to the staircase, but a little bit further back, and then that hallway becomes the point of which we have to get to 72 or 74, and that will be a better indicator of trying to get all those rooms warmer more consistently, because once, you know, if you get a lot of sunlight in that bedroom, you know, and it warms up, it shuts the thermostat down. And because it's 74. And if we take that out of that space into a more general space, I think you'll be able to balance it. It may mean an HVAC contractor has to relocate the thermostat wire, but it's not a huge job, and it can be done.
Dan, would you like Lou to come to the house over the weekend?
Hey, he's always welcome.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Daniel. Appreciate it. Lou, let me ask you a question here.
Yes, sir.
You're on WGN Radio Saturday morning, 7 until 10.
Yes, sir.
You're on the Today Show. You're on WGN TV Morning News. I see you doing commercials for hair replacement companies. How do you manage your time? What's your secret?
My secret is Mrs. Manfredini, my wife, who is what we call the tower.
Uh-huh.
And so right. Everything has to go through the tower to orchestrate what's going on. And I arise in the morning and she points me in the right direction and that's the way I go.
Okay. Well, you know what? I would have guessed that. Now you have confirmed it. And I'm trying to remember, what's the product? Somebody called in about this morning because I was talking about how this morning between the rain and the salt spray and the fog, I thought there's something wrong with my wipers, but it's just the weather this morning. But there's something you can put on your windshield that helps, right?
There's a product that I'm not a user of this, but some people swear by it, called Rain-X.
Yeah, that's it, Rain-X.
Right, uh-huh. And the idea behind that is it creates a coating on the glass, and the idea behind it is that it actually creates the sheeting characteristic on your windows where your wipers don't go off as often, and because literally they claim you can drive with the wipers off. But it is something you have to reapply, and I believe it is something you can't do below freezing temperatures to apply it. So if you have a garage where it's a little bit warmer in there, you'd have to do it inside there.
Yeah, but as far as temperatures, we're okay because we're going to be above freezing for the next week almost.
Yeah, and now I'm concerned with all the snow. And, the one thing I will remind people is on downspouts and whatnot that can be, dumping water right by the corner of the house, that can lead to a water infiltration in the basement. So pay attention to that to make sure you don't have snow build up or anything like that around there that causes more problems for you.
Hey, Lou, what did they do with your plaque that was on the WGN Radio Walk of Fame outside Tribune Tower? Where is that now?
I have a feeling they're stacked up somewhere, and they're going to they're going to give them to people to use as boat anchors out in that what do they call that, the playpen out there by the lake?
Yeah, because for people who don't know, WGN Radio moved from Tribune Tower
right.
to the Bob Surratt Building here at 303 East
right.
Wacker,
right.
And
I saw they put a big plaque for you in right there by the firehouse, but not the rest of them. I don't know. They're stacked up somewhere.
Yeah, right. In storage.
How
right.
about we build a wall on Lakeshore Drive? We need some retention walls. We could use them for that.
They got a lot of water
that's
problems.
That's a great
there.
Idea.
Yeah, they really do. It's Lou Manfredini, the first call, sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy efficient windows. And Lou's on the radio here tomorrow morning, 7 until 10. Lou, would it kill you to promote our weekday morning show about once every 15 minutes?
Absolutely.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. Bob, how about we switch around and then we do Bob's first call on Saturdays, because I'm sure that would make you so happy to have to get up super early on Saturday too.
Yeah, let's not get carried away with promotion. You have a good weekend, my friend.
All right. Have a nice weekend, everybody.
It's Lou Manfredini. Coming up, a beat cop's guide to good eats. So we'll get some restaurant news and more. And let's say good morning to our pal, Lieutenant David Haynes from the Chicago Police Department, fresh from his all-night duty up on the northwest side. How you doing, Lieutenant?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
And I know you want to first add to a Dave Ennett sportscast. You've got some information for us.
Yeah, there's a major sporting event coming up this weekend that I noticed Dave hasn't been covering, and so I thought I'd bring
Lieutenant,
it up.
I apologize for that.
What is
the,
it?
The Great Paddle Battle is this weekend. It's the cast of the Chicago Med, Chicago PD, and the Chicago Fire. They're raising money for the 100 Club by having a ping pong tournament on the 26th. That's Sunday, right?
Yep.
And 3 to 5 p.m. at the Chicago Spin, 344 North State Street. It's $30 in advance, $40 at the door. The 100 Club of Chicago raises money for police officers who've been catastrophically injured or killed. And they've been around forever. And they're just a fantastic organization. And I guess if you get there early before the tournament starts, you can actually help warm up the cast members from these great shows.
Okay, give that information again. When, where?
So it's 3 to 5 p.m. p.m. This Sunday afternoon, the 26th, and it's at Chicago Spin, 344 North State Street, and in Chicago, and it is $30 in advance. Oh, and you can buy tickets at chicago.wearespin.com, and it's $40 at the door if you don't buy them online.
Good cause. Glad you got that in. Yeah. Lieutenant Haynes has a book called A Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats, because as we've mentioned, if you want to know a good place to eat that has quality food, good service, and doesn't cost a lot of money, you talk to the cops. Now, years ago, everybody used to say, well, the firemen, they know the good places to eat, and they're the good cooks. You don't think so?
No, they're good cooks. Yeah, I mean, they cook all their own food at their own station houses. When I used to work days, we used to sneak over to the firehouse and have lunch. If you were in good with the firemen, you can eat good.
Before we get to your tribute to Chinese New Year and a recommendation, give me a 60-second take on this dessert you brought us today.
I noticed you didn't bring any apples for your staff once again, so I stopped and I stopped at Aya Pastry, Aya Pastry. It's a pastry chef named Aya Fukai, and she had at 1332 West Grand. She's a fantastic pastry chef. Does a lot of desserts for all the restaurants and cafes around town. One of the things I brought in, she makes a Samoa cake.
It looks like a donut.
Well, it's based on the Girl Scout cookie, the Samoa cookies.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, and so she made it into a cake. There's a little cookie and chocolate on the bottom, and it's fantastic.
Nice.
And little full disclosure, my son's a baker there, so I get a lot. I love their food.
Glad you mentioned that. Okay, it's 1332 West Grand.
Right, and they have a pop-up bakery on Friday, Saturday, Sunday mornings from 10 to 2. So, and you can go there, and they're also going to start taking orders next week for Valentine's Day. They make these heart-shaped cookies that you can personalize any way you want, so you can buy them for Marianne and give her some.
Do they have kale?
I don't think so. Do you still drink that green stuff that she made?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I know. It tastes like the lawn, but it's healthy. It's 6:43, more with Lieutenant Haynes and some restaurant news. The Bob Surratt Morning Program and Marijuana Dispensary. Lieutenant David Haynes is here from Jefferson Park, from the police district number, what is that?
16, the 16th district.
And he's here to talk about food, and in honor of the year of the rat, you went to Chinatown, yes, didn't you?
Kind of appropriate for an election year, isn't it? But I did. I went to Chinatown. I went to Three Happiness, which was actually recommended to me by Officer Jim Day, who works with me in 16 and worked with me in 15 when I was there. But every time I mention Chinatown, the first thing most of the policemen talk about is Three Happiness. And it's at 209 West Cermak. It's in the 9th district, and Three Happiness is like the Chinese version of everything that we do when we look for restaurants. It doesn't look like, it's not a fancy touristy place. It's kind of a little hole in the wall, and it looks like it's out of the 1970s movie or something like that.
Well, what did you like on the menu there?
Well, I tried egg drop soup first, and egg drops, I wanted to try something new. I never had it because when I was a kid, I thought it was disgusting, and I figured I'd try it. And it really kind of still looks disgusting to me, but I forced myself to taste it. It was fantastic.
It's great. Egg drop soup is great.
And it's really, like, thick. The broth is, like, it's a fantastic winter kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had the vegetable and beef chow fun. It's that thick rice noodles, which I cannot find in any Chinese restaurant outside of Chinatown. I mean, I know they say they got wide rice noodles, but they're not thick. It's almost like these are homemade.
Right, and if it's crispy, it's really good.
Yeah, I like the soft ones, but yeah, the crispy ones are good. That they also have the shrimp toast. It's like a little bread with brushed with egg and minced shrimp and water chestnuts, and I could have made an entire meal just out of shrimp toast. It's fantastic. And, of course, egg rolls. I always have to have egg rolls. The thing about egg rolls is I think there's a top limit to how good they can be, but if you order egg rolls and they're bad, you know the rest of the meal is going to be bad.
Yeah, that's the indicator. And so at Three Happiness, though, the egg rolls passed the test.
They did. They were phenomenal. Just and the waitress was kind of surly and... I was going to try. I said, I want to try a new soup. What soup is good? Which they're all good. Whichever one you want, decide. They're all good. And it was, but she was funny. She was really funny, but kind of a surly. Come on, let's go eat and all kinds of food. I mean, a huge. plate of food. I couldn't finish it.
All right. So the recommendation for Chinatown and for Chinese New Year from you is 3 Happiness, 209 West Cermak. And this also is a favorite of your colleague. What's his name again?
Jim Day, Officer Jim Day. And yeah, it's you know what? It's you go get good Chinese food there. And if you want the touristy effect, then you can go have a drink across the street. There's a lot of really cool places all up and down Wentworth if you walk, especially if you go down to the parade is next week. It's February 2nd, and it is already decorated for the parade, there's a million different shops, even in the wintertime in Chinatown. There's a million places to stop in and get warm and see and little, you know, try out different things. There's a new restaurant opening up there, too, next year. Tony, I read this in Eater Chicago, Tony Hugh is opening a place at 2237 South Wentworth that's going to be 3 stories tall.
A lot of action in Chinatown. That's good to see. And the New Year is actually tomorrow. And you were born in the year of the monkey, right?
Right. Do we want to say when you were born?
The year of the pig?
The year of the pig. You think I would have. You think that'd be switched.
Yeah, right. You know what I want to see in Chinese restaurants? I want to see a fortune cookie that has a real fortune. I mean, the last, I kept this because I wanted to talk about this. The last fortune I got said, keep in mind that it's the journey and not the destination that counts. Now, that's nice, but that's not a fortune. I want a fortune. Like, in the lottery, you will win. What's the jackpot? $373 million this weekend. I want a real fortune.
Yeah, you just get a list of numbers, you go play it, and you actually win.
Yes.
Now, my wife has a game. We go to Chinatown to get fortune cookies. You have to add the words "in bed" at the end of them.
Oh, so, I've heard about this.
So read that again and add "in bed" at the end. It's the journey.
Never keep in mind that it's the journey and not the destination that counts in bed. Okay. Thank you, Lieutenant, for bringing that up. Restaurant news. Let's get to a few items here that may be of interest to you. The Tortazo, I think is how you say it, is a New Mexican restaurant that just opened inside the Willis Tower, a partnership involving famous Chicago chef Rick Bayless. They intend to open many locations across the country, building on the success Bayless has built with Tortas Frontera, an oasis for travelers flying through O'Hare. This is part of a massive renovation inside Chicago's tallest building, one that includes urban space, food hall, and other restaurants. Eventually, this is near the Jackson Boulevard entrance, by the way. Eventually, Tortazo will be joined by Let Us Entertain You Enterprises Japanese restaurant, Sushi San. And also, you had a follow-up to Steve's newsroom item there about the hamburger joint near him. What was that?
Yeah, at 4570 North Broadway. It's actually, they do serve hamburgers, but it's a fried chicken sandwich place that's called Lucy's, and it's, they have a few other locations, and they also do boozy milkshakes, and they're also going to have an Impossible Burger, which I thought Impossible Burger was a trademark of Burger King, but it's not. It's the guy. It's the company
generic
that actually makes the burger.
Oh, that's the name of the company.
Yeah.
Also, let's see, a very popular local coffee chain, Dark Matter, has unveiled its new Mexican drinking chocolate-focused Avondale Cafe across the street from the original Kuma's Corner. That's something
I saw
for.
That. That's good. I'm really looking forward to that. And Kuma's Corner is still fantastic after all these years.
Burger with the egg on it, right?
Right. And I got Rhodey's Modern Mediterranean is opening a test kitchen in their West Loop location, 1012 West Randolph.
Yeah, have you been to a Rhodey's? I have not. It's supposed to be sort of your healthy Mediterranean food. And I know that Marianne will love this because they're testing, and I guess they're going to have on the menu roasted tahini cauliflower. It's very popular now because if you're on the keto diet, you have cauliflower. You can do that. But they have a fast casual restaurant chain based in Chicago's Fulton River District. 40 restaurants in 7 states, actually. A quarter of them are here in Chicago.
Yeah, and these test kitchens, I like them. There's a couple of them. There's a the lady, Molly McGrath, is the head chef, and she's planning a lot of different things. That my wife makes a version of that tahini with broccoli. We just had it yesterday.
Healthy.
It's very healthy. It's still broccoli, though, I keep telling her. can't hide that. I mean, how much cheese you put on top of it.
It's that Mediterranean diet. Now, I imagine during your lunch hour, you don't even get an hour, do you?
No, we get a half an hour.
So that, this is why I always say that if you want to know about a place with good service and good food and not very pricey, you know, you got to talk to people like Lieutenant Haynes on the Chicago Police Department. But if you suggest to a fellow officer, hey, let's go to a place for some cauliflower for lunch today, that's not going to go over, is it?
And it's a new age. There's a lot of young guys out there, and guys like me who are overweight, trying to lose weight. And yes, I do hear a salad discussions occasionally, and it's a new age.
All right, now I forget. Have we? You know, we're gradually sort of doing some rehab here on the morning show, not all at once, but little by little. And I mentioned last week that we need to have some special production elements for Lieutenant David Haynes. Did we get that yet? We don't have that yet, do we? Okay. Well, starting next week, I think we'll have some special sounds and a sign-on and sign-off for you.
All right. Well, I could do it this week if you want.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
All right. Well, let's be careful out there.
Thank you, Lieutenant David Haynes. Look forward to our visit next Friday. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and we'll go into the record collection this morning. We will do that coming right up. Ten after seven. From time to time, we like to bring out the Bob Surratt record collection. And this morning, we've got something in honor of the 62nd Annual Grammy Awards. That'll be happening Sunday night. The number of categories has varied throughout Grammy history. This year, there are 84. But that number does not include a very particular category that only existed for 1 year, 1980. That was the disco music classification. And this morning, from my record collection, we'll play a little bit of the one and only record to win the disco Grammy. It involved what was really a throwaway tune that almost ended up in the dustbin of music history. Instead, it became what many people consider the most inspiring and most important disco hit of all time. We'll get to that in just a second here, but I have to take a walk downstairs where my radio record collection is stored to visit once again with Radio Dave, our staff curator. Hope he's here. Dave, good morning. You got
the story? Good morning,
Bob. Hi.
Yeah, we just wanted to set the mood for the song we're about to celebrate. By the way, does Mrs. Surratt know how many thousands of disco records you've got hidden away down here? Oh, well, now that we've revealed your secret, we're full of disco fever as we relate the story of the first and only record to win the Grammy Disco Award, Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. It dates back to the late 1970s when top 40 radio DJs, such as you and I, got to pick the records we played rather than being stuck with whatever the station's consultants told us we had to spin. This was during an era when 45 RPM records were how new singles got released to radio stations. The songs that were supposed to be the hits and that we were supposed to play were on the A-sides of these records. The B-sides were usually just something thrown together as filler. In October 1978, the Polydor record label issued a Gloria Gaynor 45 with a song titled Substitute as the featured A-side. Then about 2 months later, around Christmas time, 1978, a lot of radio DJs flipped over that Gloria Gaynor 45 and discovered a much better song on the B-side, I Will Survive. A legendary hit was launched. It peaked at number one rock and number four rhythm and blues on the Billboard magazine singles charts in 1979. Grammys honor music from the previous year. That's how I Will Survive qualified for and won the 1980 award for Best Disco Record. Let me dust off your 45 RPM copy of I Will Survive and play a snippet. That'll give you just enough time to boogie back to your WGN radio broadcast booth and do your groove thing.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. You're not welcome anymore.
There you go. That's it.
Did you see the newsroom?
What's the matter, Mary?
Pam Jones is out of control in here. She is doing the old, you know, up and down with the finger thing, the old disco move.
Our archivist in the record collection down in the sub-basement was wearing a white suit, and he had the disco balls and the flashing lights, the strobes this morning. We appreciate that. Gloria Gaynor. And the first and only song to win a Grammy for the best disco record. The Grammys dropped the disco category a year later in 1981.
Big mistake.
Because of all the anti-disco backlash they got from music fans who were not fans of disco. Mary, take that up with Steve Dahl, okay? By the way, in addition to curating our record collection, Radio Dave does moonlight as the host of the Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll podcast. Highly recommended. He's got some great stories there. You can check it out at rareandscratchy.com. We even made a guest appearance on episode 70. And he actually has his own personal Grammy collection. He was a finalist for a 2019 Grammy Award in the Best Historical Album category. Dave was among the group of musicologists who contributed to something called Battleground Korea, Songs and Sounds of America's Forgotten War. It was a box set and lost out to the winning entry that year, Voices of Mississippi. So he's a proud Grammy loser. Let's get some extremely local news now and check in with Block Club Chicago editor-in-chief and co-founder Seamus Toomey. Good morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Good to see you. Let's start off with, and I heard John Williams talking about this yesterday, shoveling sidewalks has become a legal issue, hasn't it?
That's right. There's a alderman on the south side, Ray Lopez, who he said, I've had enough. I don't know if he slipped and fell, but this sounds like someone who has slipped and fallen recently on someone's unshoveled sidewalk. But he got Streets and Sand to go out and start ticketing businesses throughout his ward. He's the 15th ward, which is West Englewood, Engage Park, and Back of the Yards. And, you know, you always hear about these threats that we will fine you, but very rarely does it happen. But these are big fines, like $500. And he hit a lot of businesses, franchise businesses, like Enterprise Rent-A-Car. He said they were the biggest scofflaw out there. It was the one on 45th and Wabash. And we went out there and checked a lot of these. And amazingly, they had shoveled by the time we got out there yesterday,
yeah.
You know, with a fresh $500 ticket in their pocket.
Yeah, and they'll be keeping an eye on the weather forecast, which now they're talking about snow later tonight and overnight, possibly accumulating as much as 5 inches north. So keep this in mind.
It's in the it's in the city code. Even though they're public sidewalks owned by the city, it is your responsibility to shovel them. And Lopez said, "Listen, we're all adults here. I'm not going to baby you guys anymore. Shovel your walk."
Okay, what's going on the south side now with the hospitals there?
Yeah, this is a really interesting story that broke yesterday. There's a whole series of hospitals, throughout the South Side, throughout the country for that matter, that are just really seeing struggles, empty beds, fewer people with overnight stays, really having trouble, paying the bills. So four hospitals announced yesterday that they've been working on a deal to all merge and build a one main destination hospital, they say, somewhere on the south side. If they've picked a spot, they haven't revealed it yet. But this would be Advocate Trinity on 93rd Street, Mercy Hospital in Bronzeville, South Shore Hospital, and St. Bernard Hospital in Englewood. So the big question for me is, well, obviously, where the new hospital goes, but what happens to these four existing hospitals once that one opens?
Yeah, exactly. Do they have a timetable set yet for any of this?
They are going out into the community now and starting to get some feedback. I suspect the feedback will be, do not close the hospital in my neighborhood.
Right.
Because, obviously, you close these hospitals, not only do you not have a place close to you anymore, but you also have this hulking, corpse of a building that's a drag on the neighborhood for, could be for decades to come. But they're planning on trying to get the actual agreement in place by the middle of 2020, when they're going to get shovels in the ground to start building this $1.1 billion hospital. I would say it's multiple years away.
And the Chicago Plan Commission has endorsed a development and okayed an idea, a plan for the old Vienna Beef factory on Damon, 2501 North Damon. You can still go there and enjoy the food in the company cafeteria. That's open to the public. I like to do that once in a while, but not, but I guess not for long. Huh? What's going to happen there?
Right, they're going to the whole place is going to come down. Vienna Beef moved most of their operations down to Bridgeport in Canaryville. And this story makes me sad just saying old Vienna Beef, because why would anything be better than a Vienna Beef factory
there you go.
Somewhere? But, you know, this is a stretch along the Chicago River, right where it bends at Damon. It's getting hotter and hotter. You know, all these industrial uses, the junkyards, everything are moving away, and they're, you know, building boardwalks and river walks and trying to use more pedestrian and bike-friendly uses down there. So they want to put in a huge driving range right where the factory is, tear down the factory, and put in an enormous driving range.
A golf driving range, yes.
Uh-huh. Golf driving range. They still make those, you know.
Yeah.
102 bays, climate controlled. It looks, we've got some renderings up on our site on Block Club Chicago, but it looks pretty good. You know, people fight about, you know, turning these riverfront properties into these uses that people, you know, some people don't like them. Some of the neighbors are worried about the lights, about birds flying into the nets there. But the cool part that I always remind people is they are putting in, they're connecting these river walks. So eventually you might be able to, you know, ride a bike all the way up and down the river.
Right.
I think after all these years of turning our back on the river, I think it's kind of cool that there's so much interest in redeveloping it.
Yeah, it's about time. And if you haven't been along the banks of the Chicago River, it's amazing what's happened just in the last couple of years. So this driving range, and they're also saying it's going to be an entertainment center at 2501 North Damon.
Yeah, that's right, and I'm sure that, you know, there'll be places, millions of TVs and craft beer, and you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and their Drive Shack is in Orlando. They're in North Carolina. They're in West Palm Beach. So, Dave, you know about this?
Well,
place?
It looks to me, Seamus, just I'm on your website looking at it. It looks like Drive Shack is like Topgolf, which has been really. They've got a couple of locations in the area where it's a driving range / sports bar where you're shooting at targets. So it's a game as well as just going and hitting golf balls.
I want my pastrami sandwich, though.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Hopefully, you can still get a jumbo dog while you're there. But it looks great. These places are a lot of fun. You know,
they
because
are.
You could, you know, even until you hit until your hands are sore, and then you can go drink beer and watch someone else.
Hey, three stories are spending $40 million on this thing, so it's going to be interesting to watch right up there on North Damon Avenue with the old Vienna Beef site. So I guess then we'll finally close the company cafeteria, which has remained open even as Vienna has relocated to the south side. Right?
That's my understanding. I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any plans where they're going to incorporate this into it. But just for the history of the site, it would be interesting if there was some sort of Vienna Beef stand there.
Yeah.
There is still the outlet store down by the new factory, which is it's sort of a wonderland of Vienna Beef products. If you've ever been in there before, it's things that you've never even heard of before, and I was like, well, who made, I didn't know they made this, and you walk out with $40 worth of food that it sits in my freezer now.
It's like an amusement park, sodium nitrite land. I love it. We should also mention the plan commission okayed Optima's plans for a 7-story residential building on the old Treasure Island property. That's at 3460 North Broadway. That locally owned grocery chain closed a couple years ago after 55 years of operation. Finally, Seamus, let's talk about this. What exactly is the death gap? Explain that.
The death gap refers to the average lifespan of people in certain neighborhoods, particularly people in downtown Chicago tend to live about 80 years. People in East Garfield Park on the west side live 16 years less on average. So there are some huge disparities just in Chicago alone, from places you can drive to in 5 minutes where people are living significantly shorter lives on average. And it's every reason that you can think of that's affected in environmental factors. Jobs are not as good. Everything that goes into it, and so they're trying to do whatever they can to reinvest in a lot of these neighborhoods on the South and West Side. And to that end, there's a group called West Side United. That's a collection of a lot of the hospitals in the medical district there, a lot of the nonprofits out on the West Side. And they get significant funding from some banks and some philanthropists. And this week they announced a whole host of I wouldn't say mini grants, but they're grants for small businesses to do small projects to help them build and expand and hire people on the West Side, which is a huge step in the process. So these were $29,000 grants. Again, like, it's not going to be a game changer for a business, but some of these there was a catering company that bought a van. That able to expand their business. So it's great, Westside United, really helping out small businesses.
Good news. Keep us posted. And I know you will. Extremely local news from Block Club Chicago and Seamus Toomey. Have a great weekend, Seamus.
Thanks, you too, guys.
Attention local TV news directors. I have a great idea for you right after the news. A little broadcast news this morning. ABC is moving aggressively to boost its streaming service with the belief that these products will change the news business over the next decade, the way cable channels CNN, Fox, and MSNBC did a generation ago. The network just announced that it will hire about 50 new journalists and increase the number of hours of live programming with the goal of becoming a round-the-clock service within a year. The rollout begins next month. And that reminds me, aren't you tired of hearing, every time you turn on the television, breaking news? Everything's breaking news. Even if it's not breaking news, it's overused to the point now where it means nothing, right? It goes in one ear and out the other. So if any local TV news directors are listening, be the first to say to your anchors, that's it, no more breaking news. We'll say this just in, or new information, or updating the story, and then we'll pay attention. And you'll be very successful. Just a little free tip. Take it for what it's worth. Aren't y'all sick of hearing everything's breaking news?
Totally really? Agree with you. And plus, news by definition is breaking.
Exactly.
Right?
Marianne and I were doing Facebook Live the other night, and I brought this up, and somebody had a good suggestion. Because you do want to get the viewer's attention. So somebody posted a comment and said, how about the news anchors saying, keep your pants on, you won't believe what just happened. That's a good one.
That would work.
I mean, it's much more meaningful than breaking news. All right, just another suggestion. So far I've given Jerry Reinsdorf some new project to work on, and now TV news directors have that.
You got a lot of light bulbs going off in your head today.
Yeah, there's no off to the genius switch,
wow.
Mary. Yeah. Also wanted to mention this about Treasure Island. We said on our extremely local news report that the former Treasure Island store in Lakeview, that site will now be the site of a 208-unit residential building. Well, they also announced what's going into the Treasure Island space on Clyburn, which has been empty for, a year or two now. The New York-based company called Brooklyn Boulders plans to open within the Market Square Shopping Center this year, according to the Second Ward Alderman. It's going to be a wall-climbing deal, a climber's scale wall at Brooklyn Boulders. They have one at 100 South Morgan on the near west side, and they're looking to open another one in Logan Square. The space includes climbing walls, open fitness and event spaces, youth programs, saunas, and a cafe. Brooklyn Boulders. So that's what you're going to be seeing in that space at 2121 North Clyburn. And we mentioned earlier, of course, that Vienna Beef site at 2501 North Damon, what they're going to do there with the entertainment and driving range. So for now, you can go to the company cafeteria there. But we got a text from somebody about the Vienna Beef store restaurant. They still have one next to the factory as well that moved down to Morgan and Pershing, which is just like the one on Damon and Elston. And from time to time, we like to check in with our pal Johnny Jett. If you've ever gone on the internet and looked for good travel sites. And take it from me, because I, as you know, in my spare time and on the weekends, and I'll be doing this again this weekend, I go to every site on the internet, and that way I can pass information along to you properly. And JohnnyJet.com is the best if you want to know anything about travel, travel news, good deals. And here's Johnny Jet this morning. How you doing there, John?
Hey, Bob. Great to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, always good talking to you. You know, we were just talking about credit cards, and Vivian, our producer, just told me that you had a little hacking incident. What happened to you?
Well, you know, I'm in New York City to speak at the New York Travel Show in about an hour. And last night I had the busiest day, all kinds of meetings. I get back, I'm so tired, and I finally check my email. I had 5 emails from my bank saying that, you know, you successfully changed your password. Uh-oh. And I'm like, what? So, uh-oh. And then you try and call them. Bank of America is the worst, by the way, with this part. I spent over an hour just trying to get a hold of them to let them know. And then I woke up this morning and they hacked my other account, even though I told them to make sure. I don't know how these people get away with it, by the way, but it must have been because I was on the plane and I forgot to put my VPN on, a virtual private network, which I use every time I travel, or it was when I first logged on in the hotel room and I might have forgot for a couple minutes. But, you know, whenever you travel, you should use a virtual private network. That way you're much more protected. People don't realize that, you know, when you're on public Wi-Fi or open spaces, like on a plane where, you know, hackers can get in there, and they, once they get into your system, I have no idea what the extent is. I'm worried about it, actually. Very worried. And but you got to protect yourself when you travel.
What a hassle. Yeah, a lot of people, especially when they have a lot of time waiting in the airport, will be on their phone. Well, explain what VPN is.
It's a virtual private network. So basically, when you log on to the internet and you open up one of these virtual private networks, you're able to, you know, basically do everything privately. So let's say you're in China, and China blocks like Facebook and a lot of things like that, a lot of sites like that, or even the news. A lot of people use VPNs there so they can override that. And some of them are cheap to use. I use Hotspot Shield. I think it's $10 a month. So, you know, there's hundreds out there that you can buy and all different price points. But just when you travel, it's always a good idea, you know, to be wary of, like, you know, whenever you're traveling, you see free Wi-Fi, don't just hit the free Wi-Fi button. Usually that could be a hacker in an airport or a restaurant or a coffee shop.
That's a good tip.
I've been traveling for a long time, and this is the first time it's ever happened to me, and I don't always use my VPN. So just keep that in mind, too. It might have just been bad luck, but I'm not quite sure what happened, but that's one way to protect yourself.
Yeah, the other way to protect yourself is don't have any money in any accounts. Be completely broke. That way it doesn't matter if they get in there. We were talking about the coronavirus, and I know you're keeping close tabs on this. And regardless of whether your travel plans involve China, we're all being affected now because of what they're doing at places like O'Hare. What's the latest on this?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously very disturbing and scary, and the media is really hyping it up, so everyone is worried. I have a trip planned to Asia in 3 weeks, and I'm going with my buddy, and he's calling me every day going, well, should we go?
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now we just need to wait and find out what's going to happen in the next week or two. One of the things that worries about me, though, is that, you know, they're setting up all these checkpoints, especially in Asia, but also in the U.S. I think O'Hare has it, L.A., San Francisco, New York, 5 airports in the U.S. You know, they're evaluating people when they come off the plane, making sure they don't have fevers. And I worry about, like, if I do go to Asia, and let's say I do get just, you know, let's say I get sick, but not from this virus, they will quarantine me.
Right.
And so I'm like, do I really even want to deal with that? So I'm actually now, I'm not worried about getting the virus right now, but we'll see in a week or two, but I'm more worried about being quarantined in case I have a fever and I'm flying, and I don't know what happens when they scan your head. Because actually, a lot of airports, before this even happened, when you go to the different countries, they're taking your temperature. And if you're not paying attention, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's usually people behind a counter with the screens, and they have masks on. And if you turn around and look, you can see that they're taking people's temperatures.
And they can scan my head. They'll find nothing in there, Johnny. a lot of people are making plans to go to Miami for the big Super Bowl weekend. What do we need to know about that?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I was just checking flights from Chicago. They're not expensive. If you leave on Saturday and, you know, don't go back the Monday morning because that's when everyone wants to go back, spend one more day, go Tuesday, you can fly for cheap. I mean, you know, under $200. I've been fortunate to go to the Super Bowl twice. I'm a New York Giant fan, so don't boo me, but and, you know, it's one of the most incredible experiences, but, you know, it's everything. It's when everything is really, you know, highly priced. I mean, hotels are really they raise them so high, it's almost not worth it. And Airbnbs. So unless you plan in advance, you're going to be spending a lot of money. But the flights are not expensive. I'm seeing actually Spirit Airlines has $64 round trip. That does not include any carry-on bag either. Just a bag underneath the seat. Mm-hmm. But you can go O'Hare to Fort Lauderdale, and actually think about Fort Lauderdale, because Fort Lauderdale is actually closer to the stadium. It's only 14 miles from Hard Rock Stadium, while Miami's just 17 miles. But don't just look at Miami Airport, because Miami Airport's fares are higher right now.
And let's talk about, you mentioned planning ahead. Spring break is coming. Folks are searching for good deals. Well, what are you forecasting as far as airfares and what's going on in the hotel business for spring break this year, Johnny?
Yeah, again, you got to be flexible when you're traveling. So for Chicago, is spring break a certain time? Is it the week before Easter, the week after, or is it the month before?
Well, you know,
or is it all different?
Yeah, it's different. Most of the time, it's pretty much around the last week in March, and it's hard for people to be flexible because you got to work around your kids' school schedule.
I know, but I just looked up. I was actually just on Google Flights, and you can put in Chicago, and you can put in Florida, or you don't even have to put a destination in, and then bring up their world map and say the dates you want to go. So I put in Saturday, April 11th to Saturday, April 18th. Saturday is always a good day to fly because everyone wants to fly on a Friday and a Sunday, or if you can fly on a Tuesday or Wednesday, even better. But you know, between those dates, which is over Easter, you know, you can fly round trip to Miami, $175. You can come out to L.A. To see me. Vegas is $220. San Diego's $276. You can go down to Mexico. I mean, always look at package deals too. Again, I mean, if all the schools are off the same time, you're not going to get a deal because everyone wants to go then. But you know, just look at where places people aren't going. So let's say, you know, a lot of people aren't going to Europe this time. You know, they think a week is too short, but you know what? You can get really good deals in Europe during spring break. So if you're thinking about going it and you don't have to, and the lines aren't as long, it's not so hot, it could be really cold. So,
yeah, are you thinking that the fares will be going up now as we get closer to March?
You know what? It all depends. Again, airlines, they just, you can't figure them out. Always set a fare alert. So Kayak does it. Google Flights does it. Yapta, YAPTA.com. So go in there, set whatever days you want to travel, or even on Yapta, you can put the price you want to pay. If it dips below it, they'll email you. Or just Google will send you an email all the time saying, you know what, the flights to Miami or wherever you want to go are going to go up tomorrow, or they just went down. So you can always monitor the flights because they change. They're always fluctuating. And it's really interesting to follow them and track them. And that's part of what I do. And I bought a ticket to go to Toronto in a couple weeks from L.A., and I paid, it was $179 one way, which I thought it was a great deal. I just got a fare alert yesterday that price dropped to $130. I was like, I'd never even seen $130 between the two.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, Johnny Jett, he travels zillions of miles, so you don't have to, and that's why JohnnyJett.com is the site to go to for any kind of news and information on the world of travel. What are you going to be talking about at that New York Travel Conference today, Johnny?
I'm trying to figure that out. No, I'm going to talk about working with social media, how to branding. This is all for industry people who are in travel. This is not the consumer one. The consumer one's tomorrow. And usually I talk about how to find cheap airfares and deals.
And really, it's not true anymore that there is one day that's better than another day to go online and buy airline tickets, right?
That is correct. That is not true. That's a big myth. You know, like people used to say Tuesday after midnight or after 3 p.m. You know what? I find deals all the time. You just never know. But it is true that a lot of the airlines do put deals on, sales on it on Tuesdays. So always check. Like JetBlue and Southwest love to release their deals then, but you can always find other deals anytime, even on weekends.
Good advice as always. All right, Johnny, thanks for checking in with us. Happy travels, and we'll talk to you down the road. Johnny Jet, JohnnyJet.com. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Take care.
The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's 10 after 8. Dean Richards is on vacation. We'll get to entertainment news here in about 7 or 8 minutes. Meantime, let's catch up on your feedback. Open up the mailbox. You can phone us or text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. Email bobshow@wgnradio.com. Thanks for the nice email we got from S. Buchanan about what we're doing here on, as this person referred to it, the new show in the morning. Carol emails us here. People do not need to be riled up in the morning. They need to calm down. I'm glad that's what you were doing. Wish you were on till 10 a.m. Please do not send messages to the station that request that. Okay, John Williams is just fine between 9 and 10. But thank you very much, Carol. Appreciate the fact that you start your day with us. From Audrey, hi, Bob. We were listening to your show in the morning like we always do and wanted to tell you that my husband's softball team, the Aces, will be going into the Softball Hall of Fame in May. They have been playing together for 53 years on the north side. This is why I love this. Their manager, John Barrett, who sadly passed away, has already been inducted. Love your show, Audrey. Well, Audrey, we love you. Thank you. And I do want to acknowledge this text. Where did it go here? From 815. Bob Surratt in the morning? ? Please tell me this is temporary. Yes, everything is temporary, isn't it? I believe so. It's 812. And a reminder here about the Wintrust Crosstown Series Arizona Fan Flyaway. This spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan gets a free trip for two to Phoenix, airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game March 13th. Sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, presenting they're the presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. You can register at WGNradio.com/contests. WGNradio.com/contests. So this is the big spring training event, Dave. Is that it?
That's a good, yeah. This is a great deal. That's a great trip too. And the White Sox and Cubs play on Friday the 13th of March in Glendale, Arizona.
Oh boy, so, that sounds, on a day like today too, that sounds great. I haven't been out to spring training in a long time. It's always fun.
Yeah, well, I think we need to do the show out there for a few days.
Now you're talking,
right?
Yes.
I mean, you can make that happen, Bob Surratt.
Yeah, forget the 9 to 10 a.m. extensions. This is what we want to advise management. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great fun. I used to go out there a lot. Haven't been in quite a long time. It's a big deal now. I mean, it used to be easy to get tickets to those spring training games. Not anymore. Yeah.
No, that used to be the charm of it. You'd go out there and walk up to the ticket window and go to the ballpark. And,
yeah, those days are gone. Dean Richards returns Monday. For now, on the entertainment beat, we have the senior news correspondent for Daily Mail TV, Alicia Quarles. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Daily Mail TV on Channel 9, afternoons at 3. And I'm intrigued by this Aerosmith story, Alicia.
Well, let's talk about that. But before we do, I'm going to apologize in advance because I'm on an Amtrak headed to D.C. for a story. So if you hear some background noise or announcements, that's what's happening.
You're on the train?
I'm on the train.
Okay.
I'm on the train. Okay, let's get this.
Don't miss your stop. Don't miss your stop. Yeah, this is about Aerosmith's drummer who will not play at the Grammys. Fill us in.
He will not. So Joey Kramer, who's been with the band for a long time, filed a lawsuit against the band because they told him just on the 15th that he will not be able to perform with them at the Grammys. He's upset. The 69-year-old says that in 2019, he had to undergo some health complications. But since coming back, they made him audition again for the band. They won't let him perform at Music Cares this weekend when they get Person of the Year. So he's just very upset with the band.
Now, his argument was, what he said was, and I'm quoting here, the artificial, made-up, and undefined requirement was insulting and upsetting because no other member of the band has been asked to do it before. Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, Bradley Whitford, Tom Hamilton, they've all been sidelined recently with injuries and illnesses, and they were not asked to re-audition for their jobs. This was noted in the suit. So that's kind of interesting that they're, he thinks, picking on him.
It is interesting that they're picking on him because, to his point, there's that announcement I was telling you. Hold on one second.
Next stop, Cucamonga. All right, go ahead.
The life of a journalist. I'm on the go. But, yeah, as you were saying, no other member has been asked to do this. So it sounds like you've got a very valid legal argument.
The band, by the way, says they invited Kramer to join it for the Grammy events, but there just wasn't enough time to rehearse together for him to play on stage. All right, let's move on to Billie Eilish. She's going to be on Gayle King's Grammy special, and she revealed something quite personal, didn't she?
She did. So on the special, Gayle sits down with Billie in the home she grew up with and still lives in Los Angeles. She revealed that she was suicidal. She's now 18, but she says when she was 16, she didn't think that she would make it to 17. She was in Berlin on tour and really wanted to jump out of the window, called her mother, and her mother started helping her get professional help and address these issues and crippling depression that had taken over.
Wow, Billie Eilish. It's hard to believe she's only 18, too. If you ever heard her interviewed, she's quite smart, isn't she?
She's highly intelligent. She's soulful, but she's very grounded and rooted. She's got all this money and success and fame, but she still chooses to live in the childhood home she grew up in with her brother and her parents and her animals.
Mm. Now on to the Game of Thrones, and what is the author telling us now? The author of the books?
George Martin, the author of the books, says, wait a minute, all of you guys that were upset about how Game of Thrones ended on HBO, don't worry, because that's not how my books are going to end. He's got two more books to write in the series. He says that his ending's going to be totally different. The problem was that HBO put out shows before he could write the rest of the books, so they kind of came up with their own ending.
And we have some Ghostbusters news to report. Alicia, straighten me out here. I'm very confused about Ghostbusters. I thought I saw a trailer in the theaters recently about a Ghostbusters movie with an all-female cast, but then is there another one they're doing? What's happening?
You are spot. The all-female cast one came out in 2016.
Oops, did we lose it? There we go. Go ahead, Alicia. We lost you there for a second. Go ahead.
Me?
Yep.
You're spot on. So the all-female cast you're referring to came out in 2016. And, of course, the original Blockbusters came out, Ghostbusters came out in the 80s. But this one is going to be with Bill Murray reprising his role as the wacky scientist. And it's got Paul Rudd in it. So updated cast, but Bill Murray's coming back.
And do we have any date on this yet?
We don't have days yet. We know that they are filming it right now. So usually that's, a couple years out, 2021, 2022. He's in Vanity Fair magazine this month, and he goes into more detail about why he decided to reprise his role.
Okay, and now talking about the movies, fans of the film Contagion are talking about an eerie similarity between that movie and the news of the day. Talk about that.
Okay, this is actually rather freaky. Did you ever see the movie Contagion?
No, I didn't. I heard it was good, though.
Excellent. So it's Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon. You've got to see it because this coronavirus has come out of China. They're saying that it originated with a bat soup. Well, in Contagion, the contagion spreads because of a bat. A bat is eaten by a pig, and then it's given to a person. And so basically, this is art imitating life, imitating art with this coronavirus, and it has people freaking out.
You have to go back and see that movie.
Yes.
Kathy Lee Gifford is speaking out about something quite personal to her. What is she saying?
She is. You know, she says that following the death of her husband, Frank Gifford, and then her two children leaving to go to college and start their lives, she was suffering a severe loneliness in her Connecticut home. And she sold it, and she moved to Nashville. She, of course, retired from the stage show a couple of years ago. And she said, in order to get on with life and not grieve, you've got to create new memories. And for her, that was moving to Nashville, being around music, being around people that she loves and values.
All right, there you have it. Let's end with the Brad Pitt statement. Actually, this is about him passing up a movie role, isn't it?
It is. is. So Brad Pitt was being honored at the Santa Barbara Film Festival this week, and he says he passed on The Matrix. Can you believe this? So the role, of course, went to Keanu Reeves. And he says at the time, you know, looking back, was it the best idea? No, but he says Keanu owned the role, so everything was meant to be is meant to be.
All right, there you have it. Alicia Quarles for Dean Richards today from Daily Mail TV. We'll let you go into the dining car now, have a cocktail. Yeah, have a good weekend, Alicia. Happy travels.
Thank you as well. All happy, right. Thank you. Bye.
8:25 right now, and this weekend is Soxfest. We have a couple minutes here to mention that the Big McCormick Place gathering gets underway at 4 o'clock today, and then Saturday starting at 9 a.m., just 2 days this year. It's going to be bigger than ever, I would think, Dave, with all the interest in the team, expectations running super high.
Well, it sold out. Great names on the list of players and alumni who are going to be there. The current players, Jose Abreu, Lucas Giolito, some of the new guys, Yasmani Grandal and Dallas Keuchel, Eloy Jimenez, who burst onto the scene last year. Luis Robert, top prospect, expected to be with them on opening day this year. And then some of the alumni Hall of Famers, Carlton Fisk, Harold Baines, Frank Thomas, usuals like Ron Kittle, Ozzie Guillen will be there, Bo Jackson.
And Hawk Harrelson.
Hawk will be there, yeah, so who is going into the Hall of Fame, along with the current broadcasters. And so it should be a great couple of days. Some of our guys, Bob, are going to be moderating some panels tomorrow. Let me see if I can grab that real quick. I believe.
Am I moderating the panel Ideas for Jerry Reinsdorf?
You are parking food trucks in the parking lot, moderated by Bob Serrata, says it right here.
Yeah, right.
As suggested to the chairman. Mark Carmen will moderate Call to the Pen tomorrow afternoon. Steve Cishek and Aaron Bummer among the guys who will be on the panel for that one. And let's see, we've got Andy Mazur from WGN is going to do a couple of panels as well. So they got a lot of interesting talk. Tonight they've got the White Sox Town Hall at 6 o'clock, which will be Jason Benetti with Rick Hahn and Rick Renteria. So that's always good for information and,
yeah,
I'm sure some tough questions.
We'll be reading about it all weekend, and we'll be seeing it on TV and hearing about it on the radio. I went a couple of years ago. And you know what? It's funny. I don't know if you're like this, Dave, because you're around sports all the time, but isn't there still a part of you that turns into a fan? Because I'm like 12 years old when I get around Major League ballplayers still. A couple of years ago at Soxfest, I ran into Carlton Fisk, and of course, he spent a lot of time here. And I was so excited to meet him. And then when I realized he actually knew who I was, I couldn't believe it. I was talking about it for 6 months after that. It's really fun to see these guys. And a lot of them have such great personalities. I remember a couple of years ago, whenever it was, talking to Todd Frazier, who has since departed. But he had such a wonderful personality. And it's just great to, you know, get to humanize these guys.
It's a really good group of guys, but which I don't know if this ever struck you, Bob. It did at one point kind of hit me that the players used to, when I started out in the business, players were all older.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now they're I have, you know, I mean, they're just in their early 20s.
Yeah, I hate reading the bios now. You know, birthday 2012, you know, I mean, come on. Yeah. Right. That's what happens. And we were talking about this the other morning, the Hall of Fame, and you watch those ceremonies, and they introduce the Hall of Famers and your boyhood heroes, and, you know, they're up in years, many of them, and they're walking with a cane, and, it does. That and having kids makes you too aware of how old you are.
Well put.
Yeah. Okay, well, coming up before 9 o'clock, we are finally going to get to the bottom of a mystery concerning the express lanes. We have wondered, what's the rhyme or reason? Is there rhyme or reason? I'm sure there is. For when they open, when they close on the expressway, we're going to chat with the traffic operations engineer for the expressways at the Illinois Department of Transportation at around 8:48 this morning, and we'll find out how they do it, why they do it, when they do it, and then I will be, you know, asking for controls here. And also I want a little computer set up here so I can type those messages you see on the expressway. So that'll be interesting. Stay tuned for that. When you work these early morning hours, you become fascinated with sleep studies. And the New York Times recently had a great article about sleep. We're going to get into this more on Monday morning, but I wanted to share some of this with you. 4 out of 5 people say that they suffer from sleep problems at least once a week and wake up feeling exhausted. And then this story went on to talk about how you become a more successful sleeper, they say. And this is interesting. The best person to determine how much sleep you need is you. If you feel tired, you probably need more sleep. But science does offer some specific guidance. People who sleep 7 hours a night, they say, are healthier and live longer. 7 hours. Nobody around here gets 7 hours, I don't think. In a week, like, we do, maybe.
In a different life, maybe.
Yeah. Sleeping less than 7 hours is associated with a range of health problems. Want to hear it? Sorry.
Sure.
They include obesity, heart disease, depression, impaired immune function. However, sleep needs vary greatly by individuals, by age, by genetics, lifestyle, and environment. It all plays a role. So when they say you need 7, I mean, that really is kind of an average. So don't get too depressed about this. The National Sleep Foundation recently updated its sleep recommendations based on age. Listen to this. Okay, newborn, up to 3 months, they need like 14 to 17 hours of sleep. We know that. If you have kids, you know that. Infants who are 4 to 11 months old need about 12 to 15 hours sleep. Then toddlers between 1 and 2 years old, pretty close, about 11 up to 14 hours sleep. Then preschoolers, they say they should have 10 to 13 hours sleep. Remember when you could sleep this long? School-age kids, from between 6 and 13, they say you need 9 to 11 hours of sleep. Teenagers, and they can sleep forever, they need 8 to 10 hours, they say. Younger adults, 18 to 25, recommended sleep duration, 7 to 9 hours. Okay, now we're getting to our area here.
Yeah.
Adults, 26 to 64, daily sleep needs 7 to 9 hours. So, you know, 7 is about the low end. And then older adults, pretty much the same, 7 to 8 hours. But again, everybody's different. And as they say, you hear these numbers, but the sleep needs do vary greatly by individual. Age, genetics, lifestyle, and environment all play a role. I'm talking to a guy, a neurologist, over the weekend who's a friend of mine. And we've been emailing back and forth, and he heard me. He listens in Florida online, and he claims that he has the answer. He's been researching this and finally has the answer to my question that I've been asking sleep experts, and I can't get a straight answer about whether or not if you nap for, say, 2 hours in the daytime, and then you get 6 hours at night, does that count as 8 hours of sleep? So, yeah. It may not be a simple answer, but I'm getting an explanation for that. I'll report back to you Monday on this. I hope the answer is, oh, yeah, that's good for your health. Count that as 8.
Yeah, you're banking those extra hours.
Yeah.
So if you go to bed at midnight, or say you're on a weekend, could you sleep to 8 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Yeah, see, I can't either.
Not anymore.
Yeah, there's a time.
Sure, yeah. But then can you nap always in the daytime, even on the weekend?
Yeah, especially on the weekend.
Yeah, and especially when it looks like this outside.
Yes.
And let's say hello to Matt Data, the Expressway Traffic Operations Engineer over at the Illinois Department of Transportation. How you doing, Matt? Thanks for being with us today.
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on the phone today. How's it going?
Going good. All right. So let me begin by including Steve Grzanich in the newsroom and Mary Vandevelt in our traffic center and Dave Annett on the sports desk, because we have all been asking about this express lane question for a week now, and I know you have the answer. How do you determine when the express lanes are open, when they're closed, when they're going in one direction, when they're going in the other? Who does it, and how is that figured out?
So it's a decision made by a group of people over here at the district at IDOT. What we try to do is honor those morning commutes going into the city and those evening commutes coming out during the week. You know, make sure we can get everybody to work in the morning, everybody back home at the end of their days. For the decision on that, you know, we just kind of look at traffic volumes out there, traffic times, and try to keep a consistent schedule so that everybody can plan their trips, understanding that, you know, they know that those lanes are going to be open inbound in the morning and open outbound in the evening.
All right, we have some questions. Who wants to go first here at the station? Dave?
Well, yes.
Please, Dave.
Well, good morning, Matt. So there have been some mornings, not all the time, but I take the Kennedy in the morning, and I like to use the express lanes, and I'm usually on them right around 4 o'clock. But I've noticed some mornings where they're open outbound. There's traffic going outbound at 4 in the morning, and I'm always kind of wondering, well, who's heading out of the city at that hour, and why are they open some days inbound and some days outbound?
So what you're running into there is construction down in the Jane Byrne interchange. With all those lanes exit out into the mainline lanes around the Ohio Street area there,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times our crews need to have that lane closed so that they can complete their work safely down in the Jane Byrne. And what's going on there is we'll leave them outbound all night long while those guys are doing their work down there. And then they just know that by 5 in the morning, they need to have those lanes back opened up, and then our crews will have those reversible lanes pointed back in the inbound direction.
Matt, if you want to have a lawyer and help you answer some of these questions, I'll give you a second. But if you're okay, we'll continue here. Everything all right?
Nope, you can keep on going.
All right. Anybody else? Mary,
what,
you okay with
this? Okay, so Matt, what is the official time that they open inbound? Is it 11 at night that they open inbound?
We do our turn in the middle of the night, so anytime between, say, 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., provided that there's no construction going on out there.
Okay.
If we have construction that night, though, those lanes could be closed anytime between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m., just to, you know, facilitate those crews out there working on the road.
And if there's a big event in the city, or a sporting event or a festival, does that...
Or a motorcade.
Does that affect what you do?
That definitely affects what we do. Any events that are going on in the city that are expecting a big draw, say Monday night football, Sunday night football, if there's something big going on at the United Center, we'll try and accommodate that to make sure that we have those pointed in towards the city to get people to the event and then get them turned around while the event's going on to kind of facilitate people clearing out of the city and going back home.
All right, let me check here. Anybody else have anything for Matt?
Okay, now, Bob, now you said before you thought maybe there was like a little man that sat in a booth and did this actual switching.
Is there,
Matt,
is there a button?
Who hits the button and how does that happen? Who programs it?
So back in the 90s, we tried to automate everything out there. You know, before the big mainline Kennedy reconstruction that happened in the mid-90s, everything was done manually. We had highway maintainers and truck drivers go out there and physically move those barricades around to turn the direction. So after the 90s, everything got automated, and that's those gate arms you see now. So everything happens up here in Schaumburg at our district headquarters. We have video monitors. We monitor everything. There's a lot of switches out there that gets everything turned around. And then just as a fail-safe, we have a driver physically drive the lanes and monitor everything to make sure everything's working right, and then also to make sure there's no cars left in there that are pointed in the wrong direction. And the last thing you want is a car parked in there pointed in the wrong direction, all of a sudden everybody's coming right at them.
Matt, who writes those cute sayings on the LED signs?
The message signs,
yeah.
So that's a thing that's being run out of our central office right now. Our Office of Communications has a whole committee together, and they kind of come up with the messages, and they do that sort of thing. I'm really not too involved with that stuff myself, but... I'm sure we can get you in touch with the people that run that program.
I was just curious. They're pretty good.
Not bad. But, Matt, let me ask you something. Would it be possible for me to get control of that? I have some ideas. And also, let me point out, I have some experience. When I was a kid and I was an NBC page, when NBC Channel 5 and also MAQ Radio was in the Merchandise Mart, they had a sort of a teletype machine and keyboard that was connected to, do you remember the old Magic Kiss sign on the Kennedy? I think it was at Kimball. It had the big Magic Kiss lips, and then there was a message board under it. Well, actually, NBC provided news headlines on that message board, and one of the jobs we had as NBC pages in the evening was we would type those news headlines on like a a teletype tape or something, and it would go on the message board. So I you know, I'm responsible. I could do that and provide what I hope would be creative messages. Is there any way I can get that job?
Well, I don't know if we're looking for people to come help us with that right now. We're always looking for good ideas, though, to get some messages up on those boards, try and increase safety on the highways. But
yeah, like today, I just put, like, watch out for the fog and listen to WGN Radio between 5 and 9 a.m., AM 720 or WGNRadio.com. That's all I would put.
Yeah. You don't want it too long, though.
No, I'd shorten
it. Then everybody stares at it and then crashes occur.
Good point about that. Well, what about getting control of the express lanes here? With a button on our control board in the studio and then an app on my phone so I could control it from home as well. Any chance that might happen?
Well, I think everybody would like to have that, but as far as keeping those things pointed the right direction, you know, I kind of like my job, so we're going to stick with the schedule and stick with our procedures we have here now.
Matt Data is the Expressway Traffic Operations Engineer at the Illinois Department of Transportation. Matt, in a typical day for you, what are your responsibilities? And outside of putting up with our shenanigans here, what do you have to do on a daily basis, and what are your hours?
So I usually work about 7 in the morning until about 4 in the evening. I'm responsible for a lot of the traffic control devices that are out on the expressways around District 1 here in the Chicago region. So the signing, the striping, a lot of the work zones that you see out there for the Jane Byrne Interchange and the other expressway stuff, I work on that stuff out there to try and make sure that we have those safe work zones for the motorists and our workers that are trying to get those roads fixed up for everybody.
And do you coordinate various times for the snow plows to work and that sort of thing?
No, that snow plow stuff, that's run out of our Bureau of Maintenance. That's a whole different group of people that run that, and I think they do a great job at what they do because that's a tough project they have there, making sure those roads stay clean for everybody.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? Anybody who's traveled to other cities knows this, that Chicago can have a tremendous snowfall, and then in some cases, hours later, it looks like it never snowed around here. Those guys do a great job, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do a fantastic job. Everybody at the department over at the Tollway, Chicago, Cook County, all the snow removal operators out there do an amazing job keeping those roads clean for everybody.
Yeah, and you do a great job too, Matt, and I don't envy what you guys do over there because, as we've discussed here in recent years, rush hour seems to go all the time, and it's not just one direction that's heavy anymore. It seems like all directions all the time, and I know other cities are worse. If you've been to L.A. lately, you really can't get from point A to point B easily at any time. But you've seen a lot of changes in the rush hour flow here. How long have you been on the job?
I've been at the department here coming up on 18 years soon. Been working in traffic here about 10 years now.
So what's the number one change?
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Pardon me?
I said it's a wonderful job. I wouldn't change it for anything right now.
Yeah, good for you. And and finally, the number one change you've seen in the traffic flow over the years here?
I think you hit it there with that commute. It's not really that traditional commute anymore. It is still prevalent. You can see in the traffic counts that there is still more people going into the city in the morning than coming out, but it is kind of turning more into a everyone, everywhere, all the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much for the information, for answering our questions, Matt, and for the job you guys do there at IDOT. We appreciate it.
Oh. Thanks a lot for having me today. Have a good one.
All right, Matt. We may call you again at any time. You never know. Are we all satisfied with the explanation?
Well, certainly.
Dave?
You can't argue. Well, you can't argue with wanting the workers at the Jane Byrne Interchange to be safe.
Right.
I mean, you know, so I get that.
I think that's what it's all about, Dave. So they can get the heck out of their road work job and get home and head out. So you should pass them, though, when you're heading.
Are you being cynical, Mary?
No, I'm not. I'm all for the safety, too.
I want their safety.
I just hope Dave is...
I'm feeling a little selfish.
...going to be okay with that.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask him about something I think about often when I'm very sleepy, kind of driving in the morning, whether somebody has ever crashed through those gates when the express lanes are closed.
Oh, yeah, you wanted to ask about that.
Next time. Coming up, we'll talk to John Williams, find out what he's got going on this Friday, and we'll get you the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Text in from the 920 area. Bob, you just had an expert on last week who told you cannot bank your sleep. Just accept it. listening from Wisconsin. Well, thank you for that reminder. We appreciate that. John Williams.
Don't you hate it when they know more about your show than you know?
Well, that's always the case, isn't it?
Really, did I do that interview?
What's up with you today?
Bob?
I know.
Bob!
I know. I like it when people ask me about something that happened on the show in the morning. I barely remember doing a show.
No, that was my salute to the fog.
Bob. I know. It's
unbelievable.
I had to go in on instruments this morning because the low ceiling.
It's Friday. Bright Side Life segment will close our show. Be here at 11:45. I promise you, you will smile and feel good about the world around you, even though we are also going to talk about the doomsday clock, which is, you know, at about zero. Did you guys do the doomsday clock?
No, it's all yours.
Oh, lucky me. Hooray! And we'll do more actors who can or cannot sing. Stick around. It'll be a fun show.
John Williams next. We're taking the long train home with Pat Metheny. My only regret is that I have but one life to give to my radio station. Please have yourself a great weekend, and we'll see you on the radio Monday.